got the world on a string.
Hello, my name is William Moore, and welcome to WGLZ Radio. We are passionately vocal, and today I'm hosting an artist spotlight for a world-renowned singer that you've likely heard of. We're going to be talking about and discussing the life of the jazz artist known as Frank Sinatra. Frank got his first important gig back in 1935 as the singer of a four-piece band in Hoboken, New Jersey. That small band was called the Hoboken Four. After that little band got to show off on a local radio station, Frank's career in the music industry only improved. It didn't take long for Frank to become popular, with his rise to fame really starting to kick off in the early 1940s. Frank eventually became so popular that his name was known throughout nearly every household in America, as well as a large number of households across the world. As a result of his fame, the media started to target Frank Sinatra, with them always wanting to get the latest scoop on the pop icon. However, the type of media coverage Frank was getting hardly ever had his best interests at heart. Frank's daughter, Nancy Sinatra, described the media's views of her father best in an interview with Walter Cronkite on CBS,
which was aired back in 1965.
Daddy loses his temper, it's headlines. The fact that he raises millions of dollars for underprivileged children all over the world by giving of his time and his own money, that doesn't rate headlines. But if he gets angry and has an argument with someone, headlines. So you figure it out. I don't understand it at all.
One of the reasons Frank became so popular was because he loved having a good crowd, and he enjoyed going to clubs or saloons in order to be right there in the middle of the audience as he sang, so they could really see him up close and personal. You could say that singing at a club and giving his audience a good time was Frank's bread and butter. Frank explains his love for singing at clubs best in an interview with Don Rickles that was hosted on The Tonight Show
in 1976.
Of course, working any saloon is a high point for me. I just love to get out on stage and work in the saloon and see the people. I think it's marvelous. And the saloons, I call them saloons, but I mean clubs, everybody's so close to us all the time. And even, for instance, tonight, it was fun coming here because I ran into people that I haven't seen because there are so many TV shows being done at the same time.
Frank was a bit of an odd one, and it shows in how he rarely planned things out in his career. A number of other artists usually have a plan for themselves or foresee the direction that they want to go with their music career. Frank didn't really have that. He mostly just went with the flow of things, and he only really ever planned to do one specific thing in his career when it came to the grand scheme of things. That one goal was to sing in the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. I'll let Frank explain this one himself, as he told Bill Boggs this specific tale on Midday Live
in 1975.
Only once in my life I saw something that might happen, and I had tried to plan it, and that was to get to sing as a vocalist with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. Because
you had that as an objective.
That was an objective. I wanted to do that in the worst way.
One of the primary reasons that Frank was so successful in his career has to do with how passionate he was about singing. In every song he ever sang, Frank put his heart and soul into the performance, doing his best to put himself in the emotional melody of his songs. Frank talks about this in another part of a previously mentioned interview with Bill Boggs.
I tried to transpose my thoughts about the song into a person who might at that moment be saying that to somebody else.
I'm sure that a number of artists will say something similar to what Frank just did. But to show you how Frank truly stood out with the emotional punch he put into his music, I'd like to play for you two short clips from one of the songs Frank sang that I love the most. Here's the beginning part to the song known as Blue Moon.
Blue Moon, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
In that clip, you can hear how Frank has a somber tone, like he really feels alone. That changes as the song progresses, and you can hear it in his voice, and how his tone changes in this next clip.
Blue moon, now I'm no longer alone. Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
In that second clip, you can hear that Frank's tone and voice went from a somewhat lonely and melancholy sound to him basically cheering with joy. It was the subtle and casual progression of Frank's voice throughout this song and others like it that made people see him as an emotionally authentic singer. It looks like it's about time for a commercial break. We'll be back with more tales about Frank Sinatra right after these messages. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to WGLZ Radio Station, where we are passionately vocal. Right before we went to commercial break, we were going through an artist spotlight centered around the pop icon known as Frank Sinatra. Right before the break, we were talking about Frank Sinatra's popularity and how that affected the ways the press saw him. We were also talking about Frank's love for singing at clubs, and how he dreamed and eventually successfully became a member of the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. Then, right before the commercial break, we started to talk about how Frank was seen as one of the most emotionally authentic singers of his time. Now that we're back, I'd like to change the direction of things a little bit. I think it's time we talked about the lesser-known facts of Frank's career, as well as Frank's later years. Let's start with the lesser-known facts. Not many people seem to know this anymore, but Frank was more than just a singer. He was a rather popular actor, on top of being the most famous singer of his time. Just as he had done with everything else in his work life, Frank put the utmost dedication into his performances on the filming stage, and he explains how he did this in an interview with Larry King, which took place on the popular talk show Larry King Live.
Back in 1988.
I don't know. I thought that acting is play acting like we did when we were kids, but suddenly you're grown up and it's for real. And then you become immersed in what you're playing, too. I made myself think that I was really that guy on any film I did, comedy or whatever it might have been.
All right, so when you did The Detective, First Deadly Sin, you played a detective, you felt like a cop?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Try to think like a cop?
I thought like a cop every day. I carried a badge in my pocket, or even whether you had to show it or not, I had the gun in my hip all the time. I was a cop through the whole picture all the time.
Frank worked hard to earn his fame, but that didn't come without his own stress and worries. One of Frank's greatest fears affected him every time he went to step out onto a stage to perform. Frank feared that whenever he went to sing on stage, that his voice simply wouldn't be there. After reaching his later years, Frank finally let his fans in on this fear of his, having explained it openly in an earlier portion of the same interview he'd done with Larry King that we had just listened to.
And the first, I swear on my mother's soul, the first four or five seconds, I tremble every time I take the step and I walk out of the wing onto the stage, because I keep thinking to myself, I wonder if it'll be there. If when I go for the first sounds that I have to make, will it be there?
If there's one thing that I must commend Frank on, it's his dedication to his craft. Right up until he died, the man never stopped singing. He took a few short retirements to rest and take things easy for a while, but he always came back to make new records and sing new songs. Even when he was 80-some years old, he kept singing. In some of the earliest clips from Frank's interview with Larry King, he explains why he keeps singing, even though he's considered an old-timer by that point in his life.
First of all, I enjoy what I do. If I didn't, then I wouldn't be doing it. I enjoy it because it's a challenge for me also. And, you know, I'm considered an over-the-hill performer now at my age. And there's no doubt about it that I think in the industry I'm considered an over-the-hill performer.
As you can see from the various interviews that Frank did, he was just a human underneath all that fame. Frank may have become larger than life throughout his career, but he still suffered through his own fears and fought on to sing and act all the time because that was what he loved to do. Like most famous stars, Frank certainly wasn't any angel. He just wanted to do what he loved for a living and hoped to come out richer than before. Thanks to his own hard work and persistence, he gained all the fame he could ever want. And that just about does it for our artist spotlight. As a recap to our little show for those just tuning in, today we showed the various odds and ends of Frank Sinatra's career and life. We talked about how the media handled his popularity, how Frank loved to be close to the audience, and we explained how Frank never really had much of a plan for his career besides a specific goal to join a famous orchestra. And we talked about how Frank put plenty of emotion into all of his songs. Then after our commercial break, we dove into the lesser-known bits of Frank's career, such as how he was also a rather popular movie actor. Then we moved on to show how Frank was always hit with fear that his voice would leave him right before a show. And finally, we finished our artist spotlight by talking about how much Frank continued to sing right up until the day he died, because he just loved singing that much. Thank you all for joining us on the WGLZ radio station. We are passionately vocal, and we hope you stick around for more Hilltopper content. Have a great day, everyone.